Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, anti-mandate protests across the world as the metaverse advances and Putin prepares to invade Ukraine. And it's only noon on Monday. Here on day 679 of 15 days to flatten the curve, the headlines from around the world have never been so intimidating and sensational, not the least of which being the impending invasion of Ukraine by Russia as the United States sits helplessly by and pledges to do nothing. The world has been on fire for some time now, but it looks like it's really about to set itself ablaze. Again, we go to Habakkuk 1:5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your day which ye will not believe, and though it be told you. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we check in across the end time spectrum to see what's new and to update things that we previously discussed. Things are changing so rapidly that it's hard to remember it all. The vaccination passport is making life miserable for people in liberal states across America and in a large swatch of Europe and Canada. Big Pharma is now threatening with a yearly vaccine that Anthony Fauci is already drooling over, and no one seems to care or notice that death rates under Omicron have plummeted. They're a fraction of the death rates under Delta. Why are we not celebrating? Because as we told you, the vaccine was not made for the virus, but the virus was made for the vaccine. And I think that is obvious at this point. We had our entire Facebook page removed for telling you the truth. And now it's starting to come out that everything that we told you was exactly the right thing. Now, when you understand that the virus was made for the vaccine, everything begins to make sense. Today on the Prophecy Podcast, we grab the headlines and we run them through the flawless filter of your King James Bible, and we invite you to join us as we do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for waking us up today. And we praise you for taking our sister Juanita home yesterday. Sad news, but it's happy news. She's home with you, and she wouldn't want to come back here, even if she could. And we pray for her husband, Thomas. And we just pray, Lord, that you would comfort him and show him the way forward now. Help him to be brave and strong and courageous in her absence. Please pray for Haley this morning. She's having dizzy spells and she's been nauseous since she woke up. That's Lori Ann's daughter. Please pray for Haley. She's not feeling well. We have a number of people to pray for today. We're praying for Annetta in New Jersey, struggling with kidney and heart issues. And we're asking the Lord to reveal to her doctors what's the matter there. They can't seem to figure it out. So we lift up Annetta for healing and for salvation. Jerry Ann Nicholson, still battling COVID, having surgery. Danny Arenas, still battling COVID with anxiety attacks. Patrick's entire family has COVID. Rick says, a prayer request for my mother Marisol to feel better. Something is going on with her blood pressure. Eddie has a daughter named Natalie who is sick with COVID. Andrew Stickler's brother Matthew tested positive for COVID. Nathan Strunk's family is battling COVID. Joshua Gaskin is asking prayer for Kenny Mitchell. We are still praying for Hal. He needs a lung transplant. He's in the hospital. We haven't gotten an update on Hal. So please, if you're in the chat room, anybody who has that update, please post that. Jeanette's Hall family still battling COVID. Her sister, Kizabel, son, Joshua, battling COVID. Miss Kathy says sister-in-law, Andrea, battling COVID. Jeanette's caregiver battling COVID. Elizabeth's son battling COVID. A lot of COVID cases. Patty D's 89-year-old mom is asking for prayers with COVID. Tanya Albanese asking for prayers for son Nicholas. He is sick and thinks it's COVID. It probably is. Megan Robinson, who works here at Now the End Begins, she has COVID. I checked in with her this morning, and she is grateful for your prayers. And pray for her for salvation as well. Sammy in South Africa had a stem cell replacement procedure, and she's battling leukemia. Pray that it goes well. Harmon's son, Michael, still battling pancreatic cancer. Becky Markovich, Jerry Rogalski, Kara Marsh, all battling cancer. Lulu asking for prayers for a friend whose husband has cancer. They also have COVID. Peggy Caulfield up in Canada. Could you please add my mother, Dorcas Foreman, to your prayer list? She found out that she had cancer for the third time. Lulu has a childhood friend recovering from surgery, needs your prayers. Clayton Perry, home from the hospital after having a stem cell replacement procedure. And he's asking for your prayers and thanks you. Jeff is recovering from COVID, asking for prayers. That's not me. Somebody else named Jeff. Carolyn A., son tested positive. Please pray. Rapture 57, all my unsaved family and Catholic mother. Lola, prayers for unsaved loved ones. Julia, my mom has a leaky heart valve and my Uncle John is very sick. Guest S, which is Shanna. My friend's mom with the COVID pneumonia is doing better, spoke today for the first time in 9 weeks. Now that is a praise report. Amen. Char has a prayer request, but I don't see it. Maybe I just didn't scroll down far enough. Oh, here it is. Char is asking for prayers for herself and her husband. She says the struggle her husband has with alcohol is catching up to him, and he struggles with the Lord. He is talking about separating. And I understand that struggle. That is a very, very hard thing to overcome. So Char is asking for prayers for her husband to get sober. Marie C. in Philadelphia, that street preacher Marie. Niece Gina, having suicidal thoughts and needs prayer. John Henry went to the hospital yesterday because he was feeling suicidal. Man, there's a lot of that going around. That's just the spirit of Antichrist. Keith, battling pornography, asking for prayers for his family as well. I'm praying for my son Calvin, that God would get a hold of his heart. Lots of unspokens this morning. Carol M., Rachel Thomas, Janet, Chelsea, Jackie, Lori, a lot of unspokens today. Jeffrey Hodge asking for prayers for the Lord's guidance as he faces job loss over the vaccine mandate. Patty D's friend's son is battling pornography. Mia McLean, please pray for my son. He's in Harris County Jail. Maria Welsh is asking for prayers for her daughter who got saved, but she OD'd last week and she's in the hospital. And Maria is asking for prayers for her daughter. Guest S again, Shanna, please pray for my lost friends, Kelly and Andrew. And I have two unspoken prayer requests as well. Angel, prayers for son Nicholas, who has an outpatient neck procedure done tomorrow, that there would be no complications. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts. And God, I thank you. I say this all the time, but I'm grateful that we can have as many people listening as we do to this program, and we start it in prayer and praise reports and thanksgiving to God. I don't know of any other podcast that talks about news and current events that people will stay and listen and pray for each other. To me, that's more important than the podcast. And God, I'm grateful that you allow that to take place here. That is special. That is unique. And Mike Hensel is asking, is the use of stem cells unethical? That is beyond the scope of this podcast today, but we can talk about that on a Bible study. Some people say yes, some people say no, but we will talk about that at some future point. It's a good question, though, and we will answer it. But Father God, for all these people who are praying and need help, for all these people who are calling out to you, people battling cancer, people battling COVID, people battling suicidal thoughts, depression, pornography, we're right in the middle of the King James Bible. Your word has already foreseen all of these things. And we're glad, God, and we're grateful that we can come before you today. And we can lift up our hearts. And we can lift up our prayers. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2:3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Lord, those 18 things, 6 plus 6 plus 6, are all trademarks of Antichrist. And we do turn away from those things today, God. And we ask you to give us strength to do it. And God, I thank you. I praise you. I lift up the 200 people in the chat room to you, and the hundreds more listening live who are not chatting, and the thousands that will listen in the archive. And we just thank you. We praise you. We commit this time to you. And we do it all, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. Today is January 24th, 2022. And we have so much to talk about. There is so much happening. And it's possible that even during this broadcast, Russia may invade Ukraine while this program is going live. The stock market is going crazy. Super bubble, super burst, crypto collapse, economy slows sharply during Omicron. Putin getting ready to invade Russia any day now, any hour now. The United States has already ordered that all U.S. embassy personnel in the nation of Ukraine get out. And why? Well, to get out, because Putin's going to get in. And Joe Biden said 2 weeks ago that there's really not much that you can do, and that Putin is going to take over the Ukraine. And then, of course, when he realized how pusillanimous that sounded and how weak that makes America look, then he had Antony Blinken issue some sort of a post-speech threat that Putin only laughed at. The United States not going to do anything. The most that we're going to do, maybe we'll send some military equipment. Maybe we'll send a small battalion of soldiers, maybe. But we're really not going to do much of anything. Putin's going to get in there and there's really not much that we can do. Someone just told me that I said Putin is getting ready to invade Russia. I hope I didn't say that. But he is getting ready to invade Ukraine. That is absolutely true. So we'll see what happens there. So let's talk for a moment about vaccine mandates. If you were paying attention over the weekend in Washington, D.C., about 200,000 people showed up in Washington, D.C., had a very peaceful protest, and hundreds of thousands of people told the Biden administration that vaccine mandates are wrong and that the American people will not stand for that. Dr. Robert Malone was there, and he actually was asked to give the closing speech at the D.C. mandate protest yesterday. Take a listen to Dr. Robert Malone at the D.C. mandate protest from yesterday.
The Davos oligarchs have demonstrated their gross incompetence to all the world over the last 2 years. They have neither right nor ability to govern America and Americans. We are a free people. And we have governed ourselves for almost 250 years now, based on a constitution developed by self-reliant farmers, tradesmen, shop owners, and landholders. These forefathers rejected a foreign monarchy and oligarchy, and instead created and fought for a political structure which remains an inspiration for the world. A shining city on the hill, Camelot. When I was very young, a brilliant man said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what ask what you can do for your country." This is our country. We own this amazing gift, but we must defend it if we wish to keep it. Today, I ask all of you to keep that brilliant young man's words in your mind and heart. We can all be leaders, and now is the time to step up to the task. We will survive this, and we will overcome these hardships if we could just keep these three simple words in our hearts: integrity, dignity, community. So fight for your children. Do not comply. I thank you so much for your time and attention.
So that was Dr. Robert Malone. We have played clips from him over the past couple of months. He had a huge program on the Joe Rogan podcast a couple of weeks ago that was banned by YouTube. And he is the same guy who came up with the term mass formation psychosis. So he was asked to give the closing speech at the DC mandate protest yesterday. And if you Google it, you will see that it was very, very well attended. Hundreds of thousands of people there. And he's right about one thing: that if you are going to see any change, you at times have to fight for what you believe in. A lot of people say that America is a nation that was founded on rebellion, but I don't really think that that tells you the whole story, because when you read about our founding fathers, it was not so much rebellion, because they originally tried to work with the king. They did not rebel from the perspective that it was like an insurrection. They wanted to remain under the authority of the king, even after they came to the New World and they began to establish what would become the nation of America. But the king did not want to work with them, and he made it harder and harder for them to exist. So it really wasn't so much a rebellion. It was at the end, but it didn't start out that way. It started out by people realizing that if you're ever going to make a change, sometimes you have to fight for what you believe in. Now, when we read the Bible, in John chapter 21, Jesus tells Peter how he's going to give glory to God. Not by fighting, but by dying. John 21:18, Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." So, in the American life, or if you're in France, Germany, Italy, Spain, when your government begins to go rogue, sometimes the only way to make a change is you got to stand up and fight for what you believe in. Somebody once said that freedom is not free. Freedom is provided because somebody else shed their blood for you. And salvation is a free gift to you, but salvation was not free to God. It cost God the death of his son. So freedom is not free. Salvation is not free. And these things come at a cost. And if you want these things, sometimes you have to be willing and be prepared to pay the cost. Now, we call the World War II generation the greatest generation. My dad was in World War II. He didn't fight because he was too young. But my dad, 1 week after he graduated high school in 1944, he volunteered for the Army Air Force, and he served for a whole year before the war was over. And he's part of what they call the greatest generation. And when you watch those films on the landing on the beach at Normandy, and you see the American soldiers coming off of those troop transports, and they're getting slaughtered by the machine gun nests of the Nazi soldiers. And the Americans kept coming, and the Germans kept shooting, and tens of thousands of people died on the beach that day on D-Day. And that was the cost of freedom on that particular day. And what people are starting to realize, people are starting to realize that the only way that this thing is going to change is that people are going to have to stand and fight. Now, ultimately, these things that are happening can only be resisted for so long, because what we are seeing is the fulfillment of end times Bible prophecy. So there's only so far that you can resist. And yesterday in Washington, about 200,000 people, maybe more, showed up to resist. Now, at the same time that hundreds of thousands of Americans are standing up to the government in Washington, D.C., this was happening in California.
Move to fight vaccine hesitancy and misinformation, new legislation would lift the parental requirement for preteens to receive any vaccine, including the one for COVID. Hello, I'm Reggie Yakee.
And I'm Kristen Z. You're watching Midday Live on ABC 7, Hulu Live, and wherever you stream. ABC 7 News reporter Amy Holyfield was in San Francisco this morning, where State Senator Scott Wiener began to push this proposal.
He held the press conference here at Everett Middle School in San Francisco, which is in his district, saying unvaccinated kids make schools less safe. And he was surrounded by supporters, including the medical officer for San Francisco, Dr. Grant Colfax, and teenagers who support this bill. State Senator Weiner says there are 1 million California teenagers who are not vaccinated. He says that's not only a health and safety issue, but also takes teens out of some of their activities, like a sports team or a job that requires vaccination. The teens here say they are grateful for this. They believe this will make a huge difference in young people's lives.
So, in California, they're passing legislation that would allow the state to inject your child with an mRNA vaccine, and that child is not obligated to tell you that they went and had that vaccine administered into their body. So they are trying to prevent their parents from getting involved until after the fact. Now, that should make you mad. If I was a parent in California and that legislation was being proffered, I would be down at whatever school board, whatever town hall, and I would be screaming at the top of my lungs. There is no way on God's green earth that I'm going to allow you to pass a law in my state that allows you to inject my child without my consent and even without my knowledge. You see, this is how the slope gets slippery. You allow these type of things to take place. Viviana just said evil with 4 exclamation points. And she's very correct. That is evil. That is not advancing the public health. That is diminishing the power and the authority that the parents have over their children. That has nothing to do with the public health. That is stealing the power of parental authority. And that is an evil, evil thing and should be resisted.
Now and further down the road for other vaccinations, Senator Weiner points out this lines up with existing law in California regarding other health decisions.
To be clear, California already allows 12 to 17-year-olds to make some significant medical decisions. 12-year-olds can already today go in and receive an HPV or hepatitis B vaccine without their parents being there.
It's been devastating for me to see so many teens live in sadness for a life-saving vaccine that the rest of us fortunate teens can easily get. COVID is taking away their happiness and futures. And we can't ignore this crisis anymore.
We did ask, what about parents' rights to decide for their kids? He said...
So here it is. She asked the question, well, what about those parents' rights? Let's see what the answer is.
Parents mostly do get to decide for their kids, but in this limited situation, with the FDA deciding that this vaccine is safe, he says kids should be able to overrule their parents and get vaccinated. And he points out it might not be an anti-vaccination situation, just busy parents.
Children should be able to overrule their parents and get vaccinated against their will and against their consent. Do you see what the real agenda actually is? That's not health. That's not safety. That's not medicine. That's not science. That is the devil trying to steal from you the ability to exercise your parental authority over your children. The Bible says in Psalm 127, verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So Psalm 127 verses 3 through 5 shows you that children are an heritage of the Lord. They are a gift of God. Not everybody can have children. It is a blessing to be able to have them. My friend Annetta, that we're praying for, she had about 5 or 6 miscarriages before she was able to have her beautiful daughter, Xenia. And when Xenia was born, she was a preemie. I think she was born somewhere around 24, 25 weeks. I think she weighed about 1 pound. And it was really touch and go for a long time. And so when you get a gift like that and you realize that not everybody can have children, and the Bible says that children are an heritage of the Lord, and they are a gift of God. Well, California wants to take away, if you're a parent, California wants to take away your ability to exercise parental authority over your child. See, that is something that I would stand up and protest in the street over. I understand that we're looking for a better country. I understand that this world is not our home and we're just passing through. I get all that. But you ain't messing with my kids while I can still draw breath. There is no way that I would let that happen. And if you live in California, you need to stand up from that garbage. You need to protest, and you need to tell the oligarchs and the dictators and the tyrants that are in your government that you are not going to stand for that. I am not calling for violence. I am calling for peaceable protest and to stand up and to say no, 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 no. Because if you don't, you know what they're going to do? They're going to take your kids from you. Annetta just told me that Xenia was born at 25 weeks, 1 pound, 1 ounce, and 11 inches long. 1 pound, 1 ounce. That's like the size of a kitten. That's very, very, very small. But God saw her through, and she loves the Lord, and that's a great thing. So if you live in California, don't let them steal your parental authority. Don't just lay down and say, oh, well, there's nothing we can do. You need to stand up for your children, and you need to be able to decide if you were going to give them the vaccine or not. I remember when my kids were born years ago, we prayed and we decided that my children would not be vaccinated. So to this day, Kelsey is 26, Calvin is 22, and Megan is, she's going to be 21. And none of them have been vaccinated with anything, and they are some of the healthiest children that you will ever see. And they have never been vaccinated. So I'm not just a anti-vaxxer because of COVID. I have been anti-vaccine for about 26 years now. Speaking of vaccines, I want to play 2 clips from Bill Gates. The first one we are calling How It Started, and the second one we're calling How It's Going. So let's take a listen to Bill Gates, public enemy number one. Let's take a listen to 2 clips from Bill Gates, How It Started and How It's Going. Here is Bill Gates, How It Started.
The world is on the brink of a great scientific achievement. A COVID-19 vaccine will likely be ready by early next year. In fact, we'll probably have more than one vaccine ready. These vaccines will allow us to save millions of lives. They'll also have another enormous benefit. They'll allow us to develop a plan for the world to globally eliminate COVID-19. To achieve this goal of global elimination, we need three things: the capacity to produce billions of vaccines, the funding to pay for them, and the systems to deliver them everywhere. The world's low and lower middle income countries are home to nearly half of the global population. Because they don't have the purchasing power of the wealthy countries, they risk not getting nearly enough doses. Unless we do better, they'll only be able to cover 14% of their people with a COVID-19 vaccine. A vaccine can make COVID-19 a preventable disease, and no one should die of a preventable disease simply because the country they live in can't afford the vaccine. But you don't even have to care about the equity view to see the problem with the rich country-only scenario. Today, even wealthy countries with very low case numbers are still suffering. Australia and New Zealand have done a great job and gone long stretches with very few cases inside their borders. But their economies remain distorted because their trading partners are on lockdown. And occasionally, a carrier of the virus comes into these countries, creating new clusters of the disease. The only way to eliminate the threat of this disease somewhere is to eliminate it everywhere. The solution is not shaming the rich countries that are doing the natural thing of wanting to protect their people. The solution is to vastly increase the manufacturing capacity so we can cover everyone as soon as possible.
So here you have Bill Gates from the summer of 2020. The vaccines had not been released yet. They were still pretending to be developing them, even though they were already developed. There is no way anybody creates a vaccine in 20 weeks. And if you think that, then you're a very silly person. We did a podcast last year where we showed you that by late October of 2019, Moderna had already submitted a COVID-19 specific vaccine for peer review to the university at South Carolina Medical Center. So they already had these vaccines already prepared and ready to go. But back in the summer of 2020, Bill Gates, this is how it started, and he was telling you that it needs to be equitable for poor people. And I don't have the clip, but Bill Gates said at the time that once the vaccine formulas were done and they were ready to be released, then he was going to share the recipe with the world. Remember when Bill Gates said that? I'll have that clip for Friday. I wasn't able to find it. But Bill Gates said that there needs to be vaccine equity and that the rich people need to take care of the poor people. Well, that was how it started. Then the vaccines were released, and 10 new billionaires were created. And the big pharma drug companies began making $1,500 per second. $1,500 per second. So, what does Bill Gates say now? What does Bill Gates say in 2022? Take a listen to this.
The recipe for these vaccines to be shared would be helpful. And do you think that would be helpful?
No.
Why not?
Well, there's only so many vaccine factories in the world.
So here we have in 2022, Bill Gates is asked, should we be sharing the vaccine recipe with the rest of the world? And his immediate reply without even thinking about it, is a absolute, definitive, emphatic no with two exclamation points. Why does Bill Gates, the same Bill Gates, mind you, who in the summer of 2020 went on and on and on about how there has to be vaccine equity, and now they're saying, well, should we share the recipe with other drug companies so they could make it themselves?
The recipe for these vaccines to be shared would be helpful. And do you think that would be helpful?
No.
Why not?
Well, there's only so many vaccine factories in the world, and people are very serious about the safety of vaccines. And so moving something that had never been done, moving a vaccine from, say, a J&J factory into a factory in India, that...
All right, I got to stop him right there. He is such a bald-faced liar. He is such an unbelievable liar. I'm trying to find the clip right now where he says that vaccines should be rushed through. I played it last week. Oh, where is that clip? I'll find it for you and I'll play it for you. Where is it? Oh, give me a minute and I'll pull it up. But Bill Gates says that vaccines back in 2020, he said they should be rushed through, no problem. And he said that the reward far outweighed the risk. And if people got side effects, then that's just the price that you would have to pay. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Bill Gates says vaccines must be rushed through.
I understand it then from what you're saying is that it may be that there needs to be some compromise in some of the safety measures that would normally be expected to create a vaccine because time is so crucial.
Well, of course, if you want to wait and see if a side effect shows up 2 years later, that takes 2 years. So whenever you're acting quickly, like during the HIV crisis, they created a quick way of getting drug approval. There is a trade-off there. In that case, it worked super, super well. And here, you know, we will, I think, be able to get some safety indications, but this is a public good. And so, you know, those trade-offs, the governments working on a cooperative basis will be involved in the decision to say, hey, the regulator says go ahead, even though you haven't taken the normal time period.
The recipe for these vaccines to be shared would be helpful. And do you think that would be helpful?
No.
Why?
What a stinking liar. He tells that woman that the recipes for the vaccine should not be shared because you couldn't guarantee the integrity of the product if it wasn't being made by a factory that he doesn't fund. But back in 2022, what did he say? He said, yeah, you got to push this stuff through. The reward far outweighs the risk. Liar, 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 liar. Oh, he makes me mad.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
We're taking things that are modified organisms. We're injecting them into little kids' arms. We're just shooting them into the vein.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
So you see that Bill Gates, big fat liar, but we've been telling you this, all this stuff that is coming out right now. If you're a regular listener to this program, then you got to have a big smile on your face as you realize that everything that we've been talking about for the past 679 days, We've told you the truth the entire time. We've told you the truth from the beginning. We didn't sensationalize it. We didn't exaggerate it. We told you what the truth was, and we paid the price. Suspended on Twitter, banned on Facebook. We just started a new Facebook page the other day. Just because my 39-day personal suspension came to an end, and I'm like, you know what? I don't have to take it from you guys. So I call it Now the End Begins 2.0. And you can find us. We can't use the name Now the End Begins. But if you go to Facebook and type in NTEB Ministries, you will be able to find our new Facebook page. It's only been up for a day or two. We have hundreds of followers. I don't really care, honestly. I'm just doing it just to stick it into Facebook's eye. But if you're on Facebook, just do a search for NTEB Ministries and you'll find us. I just put the link into the chat room. And just to give Facebook a hard time, go there, click, follow, and we're going to fight these people to the very end. Because we're fighting the good fight. We're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Facebook is absolutely, in all three of those categories, actually, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Well, at the same time that Bill Gates was telling you that vaccines must be equitable for all people and not meaning a single word of it, we told you in an article that we published in July of 2020, and this was the headline from that article. Common sense tells you that if they will make you wear a mask, and they did, they will make you take the vaccine, and they did, and they are, and they will make you take the digital immunity passport, and that's what they're trying to do right now. And we told you that about 5 months before the vaccine was even released. We told you that they would make it mandatory, and we told you that they would attempt to make the digital immunity health passport mandatory as well. And if you live in California, New Jersey, New York, parts of Pennsylvania, and any of the other liberal states, Vermont, you are already starting to feel the effects of the draconian, tyrannical movement by these people to lock you down. Everything you were told about the outbreak was wrong. Everything you were told about the virus was wrong. And everything that you were told about how to combat the virus was completely wrong. Let's check in with Jimmy Dore. And he says, the COVID policy, according to a top immunologist, is 100% wrong. Take a listen.
So there's Professor Ehud Kimron, the Ministry of Health, it's time to admit failure. So this guy who's a professor, this is from the Swiss Policy Research, Professor Ehud Kimron Center at the Tel Aviv University. So he's from the Tel Aviv. This is him. Here we go.
So a high-ranking scientist from Israel, from Tel Aviv University, says it is time to admit failure in the fight against COVID. And he's going to tell you why it's time to admit failure. And the reason that he's going to give you is not politics, but science.
Ehud Kimron, he is a full professor in the Department of Clinical Microbiology and immunology at Sackler Faculty of Medicine at Tel Aviv University. Kimron is a recipient of the Bergman Award for Outstanding Research from the U.S.-Israel Binational Fund and of a Starter and a Consolidator European Research Council grants. Okay, so he's got the bona fides, okay? This is the guy, seems like he's a real deal. And I want to remind everybody that when anybody has a different opinion than Dr. Fauci or this guy, they have other news organizations smear them. And that's what was revealed in the Wall Street Journal. How Fauci and Collins shut down COVID debate. They worked with the media to trash the Great Barrington Declaration.
So Jimmy Dore is going to point out to you that when Fauci and the FDA and the CDC disagree with people, when they disagree with doctors and scientists, that they don't ever debate them. They don't ever bring their ideas to the table and the other side brings their ideas. And everybody talks about it and comes to a mutual conclusion about scientifically and medically what is the best way to go forward. That's not how Fauci and the CDC operate. If you disagree with Anthony Fauci, if you disagree with the CDC, you are ostracized, you are banned, you are canceled, you are suspended, you are removed. There is no debate. And this is how you know. These are all the little clues that we've talked about over the last 679 days that show you that this whole thing is crooked. This whole thing is corrupt. You know what scientists do? They do experiments, and they note the results of their experiments, and then they submit things for a peer review, and then everybody within the same field gets together, and they talk about it, and they try and see if it's right or if it's wrong. They try to find the flaws. They try to find where it's right. That's how you make scientific advancement. Is you have legitimate, healthy debate. But that's not what Fauci does. If you disagree with the flip-flopping mandates of Anthony Fauci, one day he says something, the very next day he contradicts himself, and the day after that he goes back to his original position. And if you disagree with him, there's no debate. There is banishment. And that's how you know that it's crooked. That's how you know that it's corrupt.
Those were doctors that had a different idea of how to handle COVID. It turns out the right idea. And this guy, who was the head of the NIH, and Fauci conspired to get them smeared in mainstream news magazines. Instead of debating them, they just smeared them. So now you know how this works, okay? So Professor Ehud Qimron, head of the Department of Microbiology and Immunology at Tel Aviv University and one of the leading Israeli immunologists, has written an open letter sharply criticizing the Israeli and indeed global management of the coronavirus pandemic. So what's going to happen now is that they're going to get these people in other magazines to write hit pieces on this guy. And they'll, just like they did to Robert Malone, they'll probably ban him from Twitter. So that's what's going to start happening. Okay. So here is his letter. I'm going to read you his full letter. In the end, the truth will always be revealed, and the truth about the coronavirus policy is beginning to be revealed. When the destructive concepts collapse one by one, there is nothing left but to tell the experts who led the management of the pandemic, we told you so. 2 years late, you finally realize that a respiratory virus cannot be defeated and that any such attempt is doomed to fail. 2 years. Again, we were saying this since the moment we had Dr. Robert Malone on our show. He said there's no way to vaccinate your way out of this pandemic.
Jimmy Dore said that ever since they had Dr. Robert Malone on their program last year, that they have been telling you this, and Jimmy Dore is correct. But we told you that a year before Jimmy Dore figured it out. We've been telling you this the entire time. You cannot vaccinate your way out of a respiratory infection. Why? Because people breathe. Because people take a breath in and then they take a breath out. And when it comes out, whatever germs that are floating within your respiratory system, in your nose, in your mouth, in your throat, they come out and they go into the air and they travel very, very efficiently and quickly. And you're never, ever going to vaccinate your way out of a respiratory infection. It will never happen. Why do you think they have flu shots every year? Does anybody think, have you ever met somebody ever in your entire life? They have had flu shots for the past 45 years. When have you ever heard any doctor say that if you get your flu vaccine, you won't catch the flu? Nobody says that because it's not true. There is no vaccine to stop a respiratory infection.
There's no way. You do not admit it because you have admitted almost no mistake in the last 2 years. But in retrospect, it is clear that you have failed miserably in almost all of your actions. And even
That's
the
right.
media is already having a hard time covering your shame. You refuse to admit that the infection comes in waves that fade by themselves, despite years of observations and scientific knowledge. You insisted on attributing every decline of a wave solely to your actions. And so, through false propaganda, you overcame the plague, and again, you defeated it, and again, and again, and again. You refuse to admit that mass testing is ineffective, despite your own contingency plans explicitly stating so. Pandemic Influenza Health System Preparedness Plan 2007, page 26. So he's using their own documents. You refuse to admit that recovery is more protective than a vaccine, despite previous knowledge and observations showing that non-recovered vaccinated people are more likely to be infected than recovered people. You refuse to admit that the vaccinated are contagious, despite the observations. Based on this, you hope to achieve herd immunity by vaccination, and you failed in that as well. You insisted on ignoring the fact that the disease is dozens of times more dangerous for risk groups and older adults than for young people who are not in risk groups, despite the knowledge that came from China as early as 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. You refused to adopt the Barrington Declaration, signed by more than 60,000 scientists Whoa. And medical professionals, or other common sense programs. You chose to ridicule, slander, distort, and discredit them. That's what they did. Just like what they did to us. Instead of the right programs and people, you have chosen professionals who lack relevant training for pandemic management. Physicists as chief government advisors, veterinarian security officers, media personnel, and so on. You have not set up an effective system for reporting side effects from the vaccines. And reports on side effects have been deleted from your Facebook page. That's not how science is supposed to work.
So there you have Jimmy Dore telling you the truth. And he's been on board for about a year now. But we have been on board the entire time. Those of you who know my story and who know my background, you know that I used to work for Big Pharma. I spent 15 years working in Big Pharma. I know how these people work. I know what the process is. I worked at a very high level in Big Pharma for a long time. You're not fooling me, man. So Jimmy Dore is pointing out to you that they have lied the entire time. And I asked the question at the beginning of the program, why is nobody celebrating the fact that only a fraction of the COVID deaths are happening under Omicron than what happened under Delta? We have had, last week here in St. John's County, we had over 7,000 cases of COVID in the last 14 days. Up in Jacksonville, they have about 22,000 cases per week. Over in Tampa, I was in Tampa last week. Over in Tampa, they have almost 50,000 cases a week. But very, very few people are dying from Omicron because the virus is getting weaker. Right now, in St. John's County, Florida, we have a 99.2% recovery rate. Last year, it was 98.8%. under Omicron, it's gone from 98.8 to 99.2. That is a huge statistical jump in the amount of people who are recovering from Omicron. Now, COVID is no joke, and people get it, and they're sick, and we are praying for lots of people who are hospitalized and on ventilators. But thank God that so few people are actually dying from it. But let me ask you this question. Why is that not being celebrated? Why aren't people throwing a party and saying that the pandemic is getting less and less and less and less and less? But they're not, because they want to continue to use this as power and control over me and you. And this thing is not going to go away. I'm talking about celebrating the fact that less people are dying, and that is a cause for celebration. But from a end times prophecy perspective, I've told you this the whole time, and I'll say it again. It's going to change. They didn't keep us locked down forever. They're not going to try to inject you forever. But this control that they have over us is not coming to an end anytime soon. Because what's happening has more to do with Bible prophecy than it has to do with science and medicine and politics. This is the rise of the one world government. And I really don't think that the only way it's going to stop is if God declares that things get put on hold momentarily. But that has not happened in 679 days. Could it happen? It absolutely could. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a psychic. I can't foresee the future other than reading my King James Bible, which tells me the future, reading what I believe, reading what I see and believing it. That's the best that I can do. I don't know what God's going to do tomorrow or next week or next month or what his plans are outside of what he's already said in the Bible. But I do know that it hasn't stopped for 679 days, and I do know that in the 30 years that I've been a Christian, I have never seen such an extended pocket of activity. I've never seen this, and nobody else who's alive has ever seen it either. How long will it continue? I don't know, but I do know this. I do know that we're living in the end times, and I do know that part of why they're doing all of this is because this is where we're going.
They call it part of the fourth industrial revolution.
One of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
The very idea of human being some sort of natural concept is really going to change. Up until now, the conversation we've been having is around freedom of speech. Once we can access people's thoughts and access people's emotions.
The focus, as all of you know, today is on what's now called the Internet of Bodies, involving medical implants and other kinds of devices that go inside your body. And all together with the internet as a whole comprise the internet of bodies.
The internet of bodies, or IOB, is actually an ecosystem. It's a bunch of devices that are connected to the internet that contain software and that either collect personal health data about you or can alter the body's function. We think of the internet of bodies as this collection of all these devices as well as all the data that the devices are gathering about you. And in healthcare, it's Internet of Bodies has been around for quite a while.
So the Internet of Bodies, imagine the power of AI. What is artificial intelligence? It's a way to automate computation and cognition. So we can now automate learning, perceiving, doing computation. It's a pervasive general purpose technology that will be used in all of our industries, that will come into our professional networks, our private networks, our schools, our industries and our offices. What I wanted to epitomize with the Internet of Bodies is this notion that we will be under assessment, we will be under measure of computation in every aspect of our lives in the future, from what you eat, who you date, what you buy on the Internet, how much energy you use, but also what are your vital signs, how well are you doing in terms of health, what kind of specific genetic quirks do you have, what's your genome telling about your health, about your mental health, mm-hmm. about how well you are doing, how well you are aging.
Yeah, I think we'll just stop that nonsense right there. I will not be part of the metaverse. I will not be part of the Internet of Bodies. I will not be part of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. I will not give my consent to have these things done to me. And I will continue to use social media to plunder the kingdom of the enemy. I will continue to use Facebook to expose Facebook and Twitter and the Silicon Valley tyrants and the Biden oligarchs and all of the wannabe dictators that are rising up in places like Canada, Germany, Austria, Australia, Italy, and Spain. I will not be part of this coming system. There will come a time where we will have to bow out. I have already drawn the line in the sand. I am not going one bit forward past where I am right now. I'll use Gab and Getter and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. I'll use those things to plunder the enemy's kingdom, but I will not go past that point. And you need to pray about that for yourself. Because when you get past that point, this is where you're going to find yourself.
Hello, everyone. Meet Lucy, student in psychology. And me, her digital ID wallet issued by the government to offer a wide range of identity services. In fact, I'm a handy way of proving and protecting her identity both online and face-to-face. Let's have a closer look at what I can do. I can help governments to better communicate with citizens. Right now, I'm reminding Lucy of the appointment she needs to schedule for her mandatory vaccination. Time to go to her exam.
Oh, thank you, digital wallet. Thank you, digital identification passport. Thank you for allowing me to go to the bathroom. Thank you for allowing me to draw my neck. This is just absolute insanity. But this is where they want to take you. This is why all these things have been happening. Has nothing to do with a virus or a vaccine. It has to do with the coming mark of the beast. And we told you from the very beginning, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast itself. You can take the vaccine and you're not taking the mark of the beast. But all of that is conditioning so that you believe that you cannot live your life without receiving an injection from the government. And that's been the plan the whole time. And it makes me smile. All these people in the last year who have jumped on the bandwagon. And hey, we welcome you. There's plenty of room on the bandwagon. But Now the End Begins told you back on October 24th of 2019. Big Pharma and Microsoft teaming up in something called the ID 2020 Alliance that will combine vaccinations with implantable microchips to create your digital ID. We didn't tell you that 90 days after the lockdown. We didn't tell you that as they were releasing the vaccine. We told you that months before anybody else knew what was going on. We warned you in October of 2019 that Microsoft was doing this, and they had created this company called ID 2020. Nobody was talking about COVID in 2019, except for one group of people. There was one group of people talking about COVID-19 in 2019. They were the same people that created those adorable little deadly virus plushie toys. And they're the same people that launched something called Event 201. Jan Lacker says, remember the Olympic Great Britain closing ceremony? She's talking about the 2012 Olympic Games with the dancing nurses with the syringes and the viruses floating in the air. Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about all that. So we told you back, we told you that Event 201 was launched 1 month after the Johns Hopkins Center and Bill Gates hosted an invitation only, not Event 201, COVID-19 was launched 1 month after something called Event 201. So if you've been a longtime listener to our programs, and if you've been a longtime reader of NowTheEndBegins.com, none of this, none of it is new to you. And I just love how the Lord allows us to kind of have the inside track before just about anybody else. And I praise God for that. I don't take credit for that. I'm not that smart. God just allows me to dig this stuff up. He shows me where it is. And that's just the Lord. That's all that is. Amazon opening a 30,000 square foot retail clothing store in Los Angeles that will allow you to pay for your purchase by scanning your palm. And in the picture that I just posted in the chat room, you see a woman holding her right hand. Oh, man. This is like shooting ducks in a barrel. This is a woman holding her right hand over a palm scanner. You think the people at Amazon were thinking about Revelation 13? And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You think the people at Amazon were thinking about Revelation 13, 16 through 18 when they were creating their palm scanner? It makes me laugh. It really actually makes me laugh. Because if you have a King James Bible, and if you believe your King James Bible, and you rightly divide it, none of this is new to you. It's a welcome confirmation, but it's not new. It's not surprising. Do you realize that I used to hold Bible studies back in the mid-90s with my buddy Dan and Dave and our wives and girlfriends? We used to hold Bible studies back in 1994, 95, 96, 97. And we would talk about the coming mark of the beast. We would talk about end times Bible prophecy. And do you realize that we've lived long enough? I spoke with my friend Dave just a couple of weeks ago. I met my friend Dan and his wife Sally. They were here last month in St. Augustine, and we had a great time of fellowship. But when Dan was here, we were talking about how amazing that it is that back in the mid-90s, we used to go to Bible studies. We used to have our own Bible studies. And we used to say, when do you think we're going to see these things? And here we are in 2022, and we are seeing these things right now. Isn't that amazing? We are seeing these things right now. And everything is beginning to come to pass. Exactly how your King James Bible said that it would come to pass. I see in the chat room somebody is talking about the molecule laminin. And Luli Giglio, he's more of an evangelical, but he had a really, really good message on the molecule laminin. And back on October 15th of 2015, well, we brought you that story. And we told you about laminin. And what Luis Giglio. And we told you what he said about that. And it's amazing. It's a cross-shaped molecule within your own body. Laminins are major proteins in the basal lamina, a protein network foundation for most cells and organs. The laminins are an important and biologically active part of the basal lamina, influencing cell differentiation, migration, adhesion, and phenotype and survival. 14 other chain combinations have been identified in vivo. So, laminin is it's a protein inside your body that is responsible for many biological functions at the most basic level of your body. And it just happens to be in the shape of a cross. Now, Satman is saying that Luis Giglio is an apostate preacher, and that is true. I put him right up there with Max Lucado and all the rest of those evangelical Laodiceans. You're not going to get a whole lot of Bible from those people. But that was a good message that Luis Giglio gave on laminin. So let's see what else is going on today. Let's see what's going on today. The Jerusalem Post said yesterday, 100 seconds to midnight, man-made apocalypse is closer than ever. This is what the Jerusalem Post said yesterday, that the doomsday clock is now set at just about a minute and a half to midnight. I can remember when I was a kid, this doomsday clock that they created in the wake of the nuclear arms race of the 1950s and 60s. And the doomsday clock is a clock which tells you how close that we are as a global society to blowing ourselves up. And everybody gets all excited about the doomsday clock. And the Jerusalem Post writes an article now called 100 Seconds to Midnight. And everybody's getting all worried and all afraid. But let me tell you something. If the people at the Jerusalem Post believed the scripture, then they would not be trying to convince you that this world is getting ready to blow itself up. Because this world is not getting ready to blow itself up, even though sometimes it feels that way. But the main reason why this world is not getting ready to blow itself up is because God is going to be the one to blow this world up. Man is not going to do that, and God is not going to allow him to do that. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's doomsday. But that doesn't take place until the great white throne judgment. That doesn't take place until Revelation chapter 20. So I can guarantee you, on the basis of Scripture, that this world is not going to blow itself up. You may have a random nuclear bomb here and there. We drop two bombs on the nation of the Japanese people during World War II because they had started a war with us. But nobody has used a nuclear weapon on anybody else in about 75 years, 76 years. And there may be some rogue country. Maybe Iran is going to finally send a nuke to Israel. But I can guarantee you that the world is not going to blow itself up. The world is not going to blow up until God blows it up. And when that happens, 2 Peter 3:10, there's nothing you can do to stop it. God will blow this world up, but he's not going to do it until he's good and ready. Dr. Fauci was warned about the Wuhan lab leak theory, and Dr. Fauci didn't pay the least bit of attention to it.
Good morning. President Biden made bold promises to defeat the coronavirus, but he has broken these promises made to the American people. The president repeatedly pledged to shut down the virus, but he is not. Just look at the facts. More people died of COVID in 2021 than in 2020, and cases are surging across the nation. President Biden promised to deliver a national plan to get the virus under control, but recently he admitted there is no federal solution. President Biden promised to follow the science and listen to the experts. Yet this administration sidelined vaccine experts at the FDA and allowed a radical teachers union to dictate the CDC's school reopening guidance. President Biden promised to improve the availability of COVID tests. But as the holiday season approached and cases began to skyrocket, test kits were scarce and lines were long. President Biden told Americans the vaccine would not be mandatory. But then he issued several authoritarian mandates requiring American workers to be vaccinated or risk losing their jobs and healthcare plans. President Biden's top medical advisor, Dr. Fauci, publicly shut down the idea COVID originated from the Wuhan lab. But as Congressman Jordan just explained, we now know from emails, unredacted, that Dr. Fauci was warned early on by top scientists that the virus likely came from a lab leak and looked genetically manipulated. Since President Biden assumed office, he has failed at every turn. All President Biden has shut down is the American people's confidence in his ability to lead us through this pandemic. Congress must conduct oversight of President Biden's failed response, but Democrats have refused at every turn. Democrats pledged to be forward-looking in their pandemic oversight, yet they continue to limit their oversight to the Trump administration. Broken promises at the White House, broken promises in Congress. The American people deserve answers. The Republicans on the House Oversight Committee will not stop trying to uncover all the hidden information, all the redacted emails that this administration will not turn over, that Dr. Fauci will not turn over. We're going to continue to dig. We're going to continue to probe because the American people deserve answers. And when House Republicans are in control of the House, I can assure you we're going to get those answers. Now I'd like to turn it over to Whip Scalise.
And there it is. Anthony Fauci was told. Couldn't care less. He disregarded. You know, I've just been told by our awesome chat room community, you guys are great. I was just told that we are now, since we started using Spreaker. Obviously, we've been doing this for 11 years. But I was just told moments ago that since we started using our Spreaker system about 2 years ago, that this is episode 441. Actually, I think what we're doing now is 442. But it says that we are, let's get an accurate accounting here. It says that we are right now at 776 hours and 35 minutes of broadcasting. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to go until we hit 777 hours. We have so much that we can talk about. There's lots of times that I have to kind of speak fast to get it all in. So everybody wants to go until we hit 777. So, amen. The war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. And we're going to go until we hit 777. And I'm excited about that. That's really, really, really good stuff. One quick song and we'll be right back.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you got on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? Did I hear you say he was meeting you here today?
I love a little predictive programming, don't you? Amen.
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development
new
today.
New data confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Fury! Whoa! I'm immune!
Underneath!
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was a meeting? Take you to his mansion in the sky.
When I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness.
There he is.
But very few people get to see. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us. In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
It's affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
When COVID hit, he became his target. My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing. And he's held back.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was a mansion in the sky?
They're making our food out of people. Next thing they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You gotta tell them.
Promise, Tiger. I promise.
Tell them.
I'll tell the exchange.
You tell everybody. Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them. Silent breed is people. We gotta stop them somehow.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower? A faded rose from days gone by. And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
What's that flower you got on?
Remember, stay safe, sane, and sanitized.
All right. And you know, I just realized 776 hours and 35 minutes. That's for the programs that we did as of last night. We passed hour 777 at 12:25 Eastern Standard Time when we started the program today. So we are already an hour and a half past 777 hours, but today is the program. Today is the program that we did 777 hours of Bible studies, Sunday service, podcasting. And I've said it many times, I'll say it again. All this is only possible because you guys support this ministry. That's how we're able to do it. We need your support. We thank you for your support. We need your prayers. We need your involvement. We need you to share the links. We need you to be part of the NTEB family of Bible believers across America and around the world. And we need you to donate to the Bible program, to the Billboard program. God is using us in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. And I want 2022 to be our biggest and best year ever. Not in terms of human accomplishments, but our biggest and best year of getting something done for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just want to take a moment. The best way to celebrate 777 hours and to realize that we hit that goal at 12:25 Eastern Standard Time today, I think the best way to celebrate that is to bow our heads and pray and thank God for his unspeakable gift of salvation, to thank God for his strange act and his strange work, Isaiah 28 of the end times, and to thank God for creating NTEB, for raising up this ministry and giving us an opportunity where we can get something done for him as a church family. We saw last night on the Bible study that when God wanted to take a bride for Adam, he took out a rib from the body of Adam. And he made a bride for Adam. And we saw how in the Bible, when God gets ready to give his son his bride, where does that bride come from? It comes from his body. Wasn't that amazing last night in Bible study doing question and answer time? Wasn't that absolutely incredible last night where we realized that the Bible shows you that Adam's bride came from his body, and the bride of Jesus Christ comes from his body as well. I'm going to post a link in the chat room for anybody who wants to take a look at that Bible doctrine. There's some people in the chat room now that weren't here last night. But isn't that amazing where God gets these brides from? So let's just take a moment right now. Let's bow our heads and thank God and ask him to continue to use us as a ministry, as a church family, as Bible believers on the front lines of the end times. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these people listening live and the thousands more, Lord, 15,000 people per week listening to these programs. We're grateful and we're thankful. And Lord, wash us clean of our sin. Set our feet upon a solid rock. Lord, in our Bible study last night, we talked about how David in Psalm chapter 16, he wrote and he said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My feet also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father God, we pray that you would use us. Give us a new vision. Give us a fresh dose of Holy Spirit fire so that we can go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Lord, that we would preach the word and be instant in season, out of season. We would rightly divide, and most of all, that we would have compassion for the lost around us, that we would have boldness to preach the gospel of the grace of God, and Lord, that we would have empathy and encouragement for the saints who have grown lukewarm, that we would motivate them, Lord, to jealousy in a godly way, that we would stir them to jealousy, to want to get into the game, and to get on the front lines of the end times and get something done for you. Father God, expand our free Bible and gospel track program. Lord, there's a possibility of something new happening in the Philippines. And we pray, Father God, that you would open that door. Lord, we ask you to expand our billboard witness program. And Lord, these are expensive things. And we can only do it, Lord, by the giving of God's people. So, Lord, I ask that you put on the hearts of thousands more. Thousands have already donated, but thousands more need to do that in order to keep doing these things and not just do them, but to do them at a higher level. And, Lord, we know that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. We ask you, Father God, to bring in what needs to be brought in. And Lord, we don't need one bit more than what you give us. And we thank you, God. We praise you. And Lord, help us to get something done for you. Help us to see more souls get saved, to see more people come to a saving relationship with you, and to give us the power to put the King James Bible into the hands. Last year, God, 11,411 people. Amen. I pray, Lord, that we could double that this year. And we can only do it, Lord, if you provide, if you make these funds available. But people have got to be convicted that the time is short. And this is the only way we can get something done. Lord, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. That's my prayer today, God, and I pray it's the prayer of everybody listening. Here we are, God, use us, send us. Help us to get something done for you in these last days. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's exciting to know that we hit our 777 at 12:35 p.m. Eastern Time today. Very, very exciting. I'm so glad that you guys pointed that out to me. And I was charged up to start the program, but now I feel like I'm floating on a cloud. That's just great. I love that. God has taken this ministry to places that I never even thought possible. And we have grown bigger than I ever even dared to imagine. With new people coming in all the time, every month, thousands of new people are finding Now the End Begins because you make it possible for us to be here when they get here. It only happens because God's people give. That's the only way that this happens. And I am so excited to see God working and moving and stirring the hearts of people to want to contribute on so many levels to get something done. Thank you for being part of this broadcast today. Thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers around the world. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for part two of our open forum question and answer. Have a great week, everybody. To the fight!
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out of the cloud to call his children. I see prophecies fulfilling, the signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, Son, go get your children. And at the midnight